so excited to be here this morning. I don't get to see all of your faces that often, so this is just an honor and a privilege. Pastor Josh is not here today, and he asked me to minister to you guys, and I was like, okay, that sounds fun. So I'm excited. I believe that God has a word for us tonight, or not tonight. It's early, guys. I'm sorry. Today, he does have a word, and it's just been on my heart for about 2 weeks now. And so I'm ready to jump on in. But before I do, I want to show you guys a picture of my family. My husband, James, he's normally here working in the sound booth, and I have a son, Lincoln. They're not here this morning, so I wanted to show you a picture of them because I love them so much. I think they're like the cutest guys ever, don't you? I love them. And, you know, props to me because I took that photo. You know, that's my favorite. I got it printed already. It's hanging up in our house, you know. So that's my family. I'm excited to be here. So, okay, a few weeks ago, Pastor Josh ministered on preparation. And at the end of his message, he knew that he had us lined up to speak after him, that he was going to be out for a while. And he said, well, I don't want to just hand it off to everybody to carry this on. Well, you know what? He didn't have to. God has been setting this up like week after week. So I want, if you haven't listened to all of the messages this past month, I encourage you, you need to, because it's been a word in due season for us, this generation, for our church. And I believe that God is setting us up for something amazing. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's next, but I know that he is prepared. Preparing us for something. And so Pastor Josh ministered on preparation. So it was about fasting and preparing for what's ahead. He said to look reflectively, to look upwardly, and to look deeper. And basically what I got from that was that faith changes your perspective, it changes your focus, and it prepares you. Then the next week, Pastor Anna came up and ministered about strongholds. It lined right up with it. She said that you need to be free, that we have freedom in Jesus, and that we're not alone, that we have a support system. We have people here. We have a sanctuary. The Lord has set us up for success. And then she said, you need that rhema word. You got to get in your Bible. You need to know what God said. And you know what I got from that is that faith reveals our freedom from strongholds of the enemy. So we have to have faith. It reveals that freedom. And then Pastor Huffman, Pastor Anna's dad, he ministered on knowing God's will and God's way. He said, build your belief in the word and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It was so good, guys. Only the truth that you know will make you free. If you don't know what's in the word, you ain't gonna get free because you don't know what you're free from, you know? So I got from that, faith begins where the will of God is known. So we have to know, we have to do something. So I believe that God downloaded something on the inside of me. Every week I was listening and I was like, that kind of feels like what I was supposed to preach about, but okay, they already did it. I guess there's something else, you know? So every week I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? Like, I'm scratching out notes, I'm starting over, you know? But God has something for us. And the message today is titled Sharper Image. I believe that God wants to leave us with a sharper image of his plan, a sharper image of the truth, and a way to be a sharper image of Christ in our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Are you guys ready? I'm ready. All right. So I got some photos for you guys I want you to look at. So, and if you can guess what it is, you know, I'm the children's pastor. I don't think I told you. My name is Christian. I'm the children's pastor here. So we got fun stuff happening today, but God has a word for us. Okay, so let's look at these photos. If you can guess what it is, just shout it out, okay? Let's do the first one. I don't know. What is that? Any clues? Clues? Cotton balls, popcorn, birthday cake. I don't think you guys are right at all. Let's see. What is it? Whoa, a banana. Okay. All right. Maybe the next one you guys will do a little bit better. Okay. What's the next one? Okay. What is that? A who? A minion? I don't think that's it. Okay. What else? A plug? Oh, a Volkswagen bug. I don't know. Let's see. What is it? Oh, whoever said that, you're right. Okay, you saw it. Okay, one more. We've got one more. Y'all definitely are not going to get this one. What is that? Oh, maybe. I don't know. A hot air balloon is a guess. What is it? What is it, guys? Y'all don't know? Do you have that picture? Oh, it is a hot air balloon, but it was a dinosaur hot air balloon. Nobody said that, so y'all didn't get that one either. Okay, so I believe that today God wants to leave us with a sharper image. Another word for a sharper image is a clearer picture of God's plan and what he has called us to do as individuals and as the church. So I think he's wanting us to zoom out on our photo. I think we've gotten so focused on us, the problems, the situations, what's going on in the world. He said this, she said that, the news said this, this is happening. We're too focused on the little details, zoomed in too closely, and we may have forgotten that God has a bigger picture. He has a bigger plan, and he's going to help us to see that, not only because he loves us, but because he loves everyone else. So he wants our lives to be a reflection of his goodness and his glory. So God has a plan. Can you guys say that with me? God has a plan. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Y'all don't sound ready. Say, I'm ready. Yes, he wants us to succeed. And you know what? With that success comes an inward change, then an outward change. And you know what happens in the middle? Transformation happens in the middle. So we have to I think we've forgotten about something that helps us, that's key, that's vital to our success. I think we've pushed it aside, forgotten about it, or maybe you didn't know that you have some help to complete God's plan, God's purpose, and God's will for your life. So, are y'all ready to jump into this? Yeah, I am. Let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you so much. I thank you for this opportunity to minister your word, to pour into your people. I know that you have a word for us today. So, Father, I yield myself to you. You can use me as you will. My mouth is as a pen of a ready writer, ready to say whatever you have for us today. Not my will, but yours be done. I know that you are good, and I know that you have a plan for us today. And I thank you. I love you. I give you the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's start with this, the sharper image of God's plan. Okay. So we're going to do a brief overview because some of you might not know. Sin entered the world with Adam and Eve. Did y'all know that? Okay. No? Oh, good. I'm glad I told you. Way back when, God created the earth. Then he created people. He created Adam and Eve, and they sinned. Eve ate the apple, Adam told her to, you know, it was a whole big mess, but the whole thing happened and it separated us from God. You know, God created people because he wanted a relationship with us. He wanted that companionship. He wanted us, but then we messed it up and then he can't be around sin. So there lies a problem. He wants to spend time with us. We sinned and now he's got to fix that because he didn't stop wanting to spend time with us because we sinned. The sin just messed everything up. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it tells us that when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world. Adam's sin brought death, and death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. So it passed down from generation to generation. You guys know how that works. We birth children, you know, it all passes down. Yeah, so we have sin in our lives. But he gave us a solution. John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world, you guys might know this, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God had a plan. He said that I'm going to send Jesus. He's going to be the sacrifice for the sin. Romans 10, 8, 9. And 10 says that we have to ask, we have to believe. It says in verse 8, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that is the message, the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So there was a problem, God created a solution, and we have to take that step to receive that solution. God's plan to redeem his people for sin meant that his son Jesus had to come to earth and had to live without sin. He couldn't mess up. He had to be blemish free, clean, to be the sacrifice for that payment. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he defeated the enemy. And he opened the door for anyone that believes to have a relationship with God. There is that connection, you know, what God wanted at the beginning, the relationship. Now it is possible. You know, you read through the Old Testament, and, you know, sometimes those stories, you're like, oh, gosh, what in the world is happening? Like, I don't know. It's lots of killing. It's lots of wars. It's lots of craziness. And you don't begat that, begat this. I don't know what that means. And it's a lot. But you know what? All throughout the Old Testament, it is a testimony and proof that God just wanted this relationship. You know, there was times in the Old Testament that he sent his spirit to be upon people so that they could accomplish what needed to happen, so that the plan could still go forth, so that the connection could still remain, so that he could have that relationship. He's been trying to have this relationship with us from the very beginning. But throughout all of that, it was sin. So, like, the Israelites kept messing up. They kept forgetting. They were complaining. They were doing all of this and that. And God's just like, I just want you. I just want a relationship with you. Just do this thing so we can get to the point where we can be together, where we can talk, where I can help you, where we can accomplish things together. This is what he wants. This is what he still wants. He wanted it from the beginning, and he still wants it today. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take the credit for this. It's a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done, because let's be honest, we've not been doing a bunch of good things. Even now, we might have received them, but we're still messing up. So it's not because of what we did. It's because he loved us. It says that, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things, the good things he had planned for us long ago. This was his plan from the beginning. He wanted a relationship with us. So the Holy Spirit, that's who we're talking about today. He was there from the beginning. He was helping out them in the Old Testament. And then when Jesus came to the scene, Jesus was baptized. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then he began to do the works that God called him to do. He fulfilled the plan. And you know what? He couldn't have done it without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us to God. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that we need a Savior. And it's in that moment that we make the choice to take the step through the door of salvation and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We believe, and then we receive it by faith. And then what happens? Our lives are transformed. You know what? The Holy Spirit gives us a sharper image of God's plan. When we receive salvation, we're getting a sharper image that, oh, God loves me. He wants me. He wants a relationship with me. We're getting a clearer picture. We're oh, that's what that means. Oh, I see that now. Oh, I need something more. And you know that thing that made you say, oh, something's wrong. I need to make a change. That was the Holy Spirit drawing you closer to God, because God's like, hey, I'm here. I made a plan. I have a solution. Your life doesn't have to stay that way anymore. This is the plan. This is the solution. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get through all of the sin so that you can hear, so that you can be drawn to him, so that you can make that change, which then makes a transformation. But you know what? Salvation is not the final step. Sometimes we're like, oh, I got saved. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, you know, me and you, God, we're going to be together forever. But no, it doesn't end right there. He wants us to have heaven here on earth. He wants our lives to be transformed. You know, there's so many things that we struggle with, and that I feel like even myself, I'm like, well, I'm still doing that same thing. You go through these cycles and you're like, what is the problem? You know what? That means that we haven't released the Holy Spirit in our life to help us transform those things that are not like Christ. Because when we become saved, we're saying, Jesus did this thing for me. He died on the cross. He made me new. And now my life is new. But how do I make my life new? How do I stop doing these things that aren't good for me? How do I change the way that I talk? How do I love people that I really hate? Like, how do I make that change? And it's by the Holy Spirit. You know what? God set it up. He didn't just leave us hanging to dry. He gave us an example. And it's in the Word of God. But you know, we got to get in our Word. We got to see what it says. Because what did Pastor Huffman say? The truth that you know will make you free. if you don't know that there's truth, that there's something that can help you, you ain't going to get free. You're just going to keep trying and trying. That's what the Israelites were doing. They tried to be good. They tried to love God. They tried to follow him. And he did all these miracles, you know, parting the Red Sea, like, whoosh. Like, you would think that would be enough. But no, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them, to remind them of the goodness of God. So then they forgot when things got tough and got hard. How often do we forget when things get tough and get hard? Let's be honest. This year has been hard. I mean, it's 2021, but it's still been hard. 2020 was hard. The first half of this year hasn't been easy. Have we forgotten that God gave us a plan, that he's here, that he wants better for us, that he's helping us? Because he's been here the whole time. So Jesus is our example. He operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. He only did what the Father told him. He could only do it by the Holy Spirit. How in the world do you die on a cross for a bunch of people who hate you, who are spitting on you as you're walking to save their life, who are mocking you? You think you're the Son of God? They're mocking him. Who's mocked you before? Oh, you think you're better than us? Oh, you're too good to do this anymore? Oh, you can't be our friends? Oh, they're mocking him. How could he do that? How could he say, Father, forgive them. What your will be done. I will do this because I know this is your plan. How can he do it? He says that he's been testing in everything that we're testing in. So when we're having a hard time with it, the same thing happened to Jesus. You know, he was tempted. He fasted, prayed, spent time with God. Then here comes the devil. Oh, if you do this, 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 and that, I will give you this. And what did he do? He spoke the word of God. So we need the Holy Spirit. Bottom line, guys, we need the Holy Spirit. But you know, the Holy Spirit in the church has become one of those things that nobody wants to talk about. One of those things that is so confusing. Oh, I just don't know. It's kind of weird. So, you know, I'm just going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to do what the Bible says. No, you ain't. You ain't doing what the Bible says. You're having a hard time. Why? Because you forgot about the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit. Jesus was our example. He was full of the Holy Spirit. That's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, before I go any further, y'all, I got a lot of scripture. And this is your assignment. Get in your Bible. So you get your pen out, write these things down, go and study it out. Don't take my word for it. Get in your Bible and study it out. I tell you, when I was reading some of this stuff, I read like all of Paul's letters in one night of like, oh, man, this would be good for a message. Oh, man, this would be good. Read your Bible, guys, because all the stuff that we're struggling with, all the stuff that we're dealing with, all of the issues that have happened this year and last year, there's a solution in the Bible. He's talked about it. It's already happened. He's given us a solution. That's the Holy Spirit, guys. All right, so Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He resisted temptation. He fasted and prepared, what Pastor Josh talked about. He was prepared for the temptation that came his way so that he could succeed, because he needed to succeed because we needed him. So he had to do what God told him, and he needed the strength of the Holy Spirit to get it done. He loved those who hated him. How? Power of the Holy Spirit. He was mocked. He was calm in the midst of the storm. Pastor Ernest, we were talking one day. She told me, we were talking about this story in the Bible, which a lot of us have heard about. When Jesus says to the disciples, they're in the boat. He said, let's go. We're going to go to the other side. And then the storm happens. How many of y'all have heard that story before? And when we talk about it, we're like, oh, the storms of life may come, but Jesus is right there. Yes, Jesus was right there, but Jesus said, hey, we're going to get to the other side. Then he went to sleep. You know why he went to sleep? Because he knew that they were going to get to the other side regardless. So all the storms that have happened in 2020 and 2021, he knew that they were going to happen. He gave us the tools to get to the other side. This is just stuff. It's little, like those pictures. You zoomed in too close. We're zoomed in too close. We're talking about all these things. We made them this big, huge thing. Oh, don't do this. Oh, don't do that. Oh, don't come near me. Like, quit being weird. each and every one of us can think of somebody that is not safe, that does not know Jesus. And you know what? This is going to be hard for you to hear. They're going to hell, guys. Think about that. Your family that you don't really want to talk about God to, that you're like, oh, they're going to mock me and make fun of me. If you want to see them forever and live in eternity with them, you got to talk about them. You got to tell them that there's a better way, that life can be better, that they don't have to keep going through these cycles. You need to pray for them. We need to have some boldness. It's not just about us coming to church and getting our fill for the week. There's a whole world out there that doesn't know. You guys have all seen all the stuff that I've seen. People hate each other. People don't want to be near each other. People are protesting, yelling. They can't agree. We can't do anything together in the church. People are leaving because, oh, you think this, this, and that. I don't care at all. It's about Jesus. He died for us. He died so that we can have a better life, so that we don't have to be struggling with the same stuff, so that we don't have to have all these problems occurring over and over again. Oh, I don't never have no money. My check be gone. As soon as it hits the bank account, gone. We don't have to live that way. He said that he was our provider. We get so hyped up about new worship songs coming out. Oh, he's more than enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he was more than enough before the song came out, guys. It's time. We got to make a change. We need to get in our word. We need to know the truth. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, change us, so that we look different than them. So that they actually want what we have. Right now, they don't. They don't want to be here. They don't want to know about Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Because you know what? Our lives look just like theirs. You're struggling just like me. You can't keep your husband either. So, let's go back to the Bible, y'all. Okay. So, Jesus was our example. He was tempted in every way. He never sinned. He even gave us others as example. You know, Peter, he failed a bunch of times. But then with the power of the Holy Spirit, he had boldness to speak the truth. Paul, he was killing the Christians. And then he had a flip. The Holy Spirit came on the inside of him. And now he wrote a bunch of the Bible. And he's speaking the truth that we need today. God transformed him. God changed him. You know, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit was going to come. In John chapter 14, this is what he says. He says in verse 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. He said in verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. He says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, which means a helper, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads you into all truth. He knows what's coming ahead. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So he's talking to the disciples. He's still there. So the Holy Spirit wasn't there yet, but he's telling them this before he leaves. Is Jesus, he in here right now? I don't see him. Oh, so who's here? The Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He sent him to help us in all things. We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time with him. Your confidence needs to be in God. And you know, it only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. He wants us to obey the word. Think about this. Who is God to you? Did he say he would never leave you? Do you think he left you? No, he gave you a helper, but we've ignored him because it's confusing. I don't know. I don't understand. He's our helper. We need to understand. We need to take some time to figure it out. So if we're going to be successful in what's coming next, because I don't know what's coming next, but I know on the inside of me that it's about to be big. If we thought 2020 and 2021 was crazy, it ain't getting less crazier, y'all. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him to help us. We need him to lead us and guide us. He said he knows all things. So if I know somebody that knows all the stuff, would I be talking to them? If I knew somebody that was a billionaire right here and it was my best friend and they, like, you know, they're doing all the things and they're making money like bam, 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 am I just going to be like, oh, that's good for her, and not talk to her about it? Is that what y'all going to do? No. We talk. Okay, what you do? How can I get up in there and you show me the way? Can I just be your vice president? You know, you're going to be talking, trying to figure out how you're going to get it done, right? Right? So if you know somebody that knows everything, who knows what's going to happen in 2022, 23, 25, 30, 5,000, who knows? Talk to them, okay? So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. The last thing that Jesus tells his disciples before leaving them, was that they needed to wait on the Holy Spirit. He said that they would receive power and that they were going to be able to use that power to tell other people about Jesus and the things that he did. That's what it's about. We sang that song, I Want to Move Your Heart. God's heart is for people. So if you want to move his heart, you need to transform your life so that your life is a reflection of the goodness of God, so that people will actually listen to you when you say, I have a better way. Let me tell you about Jesus and he saves. Let me tell you he's so good. They're going to listen when your life looks different than them. They're not going to listen if you cussing up a storm just like them. Oh, yeah, no, no, but no, they ain't listening to you. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. You was just saying that. They're not going to listen to you if they see you going off the reel on social media telling everybody your opinion about this, this, and that. That's not representing Christ. That's not showing love. You want to move his heart, love people. Love the people that hate you. So the Holy Spirit reveals the truth in God's word. And the Holy Spirit is our helper to transform into the image of Christ. He wants to help us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. We need to change the way we think. Yes, there is a lot of stuff wrong in this world. There's a lot of wrong opinions. There's a lot of wrong thoughts that people have about other people. It's not right. It's not right at all. But if we are going to make a change in this generation and in this world, we need to change the way we think. We need to think like God. We need to address things the way God would. Is he going to get up all in everybody's face and tell them, no, what you're saying is wrong and blah, 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 blah? I don't think so. That's not how he operates. We need to change the way we think. Yes, we can disagree. Yes, we can think that this is wrong because it is. But how we do it, how we address things, how we present ourselves, that's what we have control over. So let's take a look at this stuff right here. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, it talks about producing good fruit and bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit, and a tree is identified by its fruit. Oh, let me read this to you because, you know, this Bible, and write it down and read it later too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it came to me last night. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives the Holy Spirit to you. So when you decide that you're not going to live the way God says in the word, or you're not, you don't even know what God says in the word, and you're not living that way, you're rejecting him and his teaching. You're rejecting what he says will work to have a successful life. Now, I have this stuff up here to make a sandwich, and maybe this will help you to think about how you're presenting your life. So we have a piece of bread. Let's say this is salvation. One piece of bread. Anybody ever heard of like, all we got is bread and water? Who wants that meal? Anyone? Just bread and water? Okay, I didn't think so. We don't just end with salvation. We need the stuff to make a sandwich. But you know what? The sandwich is good based on what you put on it. If I put mustard and peanut butter, is that gonna be good? No. Any takers? Mustard and peanut butter sandwich? No. So if the stuff that's in your life is you're doing some things that are in the Bible, you're loving some people, you are kind to your spouse sometimes, you are doing God's word sometimes, but you know, I gotta put my Jesus down for a minute, y'all, because they need to know this. They need to hear this. What's on your sandwich? Peanut butter and mustard? That's what it sounds like. But if you put all the good toppings, we got some cheese, we got some tomato, we got some lettuce, we've got some turkey. Who wants to eat that sandwich? If you got the good toppings on that sandwich, it looks better. It tastes better. It's something that people are going to want to eat. So what happens in the middle is important. What happens in the middle is what makes the sandwich taste good. The Holy Spirit helps put our lives together. He completes the sandwich. It's not just the piece of bread. It's not just salvation. If we only get saved, we're missing the rest. When the sandwich is complete, then it can be shared. Like I said, none of y'all wanted that piece of bread on its own. But if I said, oh, okay, let's bring out a spread of deli sandwiches. Who would like some? Y'all will all be like, oh, yeah, you know, after church, it's going to be right around lunchtime. Give me one of them sandwiches. Yeah, you're going to want the sandwich that looks good. So take a minute. Let's think about it. What's the sandwich of your life look like? Is it something that is a representation of who God is? Are you a sharper image of Christ? When people look at you, do they see Jesus? Because you want to move his heart, you need to love people. You need to have a life that is going to affect change in the lives of others. Quit focusing so much about what I need. Are your prayers all about, oh, I need this, 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 and that? Put all that aside. They need Jesus. This is what's happening over here. What's your life look like? I want you guys to read some things. I want you to read Ephesians. Read Colossians. Because it talks about what your life looks like. It's a daily process. We need power from the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. We're trying to do it on our own. Yes, I want to be good. People that aren't Christians want to be good. They want to live a good life. They want to have a happy marriage. You know people that just get married because, oh, they just want to beat each other up? No, they start off because they think they love each other and they want that. They want that relationship. They're trying, but their trying doesn't work. Why? What's missing? Why isn't our trying working? Why am I repeating the same cycle over and over again? Why does it feel like I never have any friends ever? Why does it feel like I'm always alone? Why? Do we know why? So through the power of the Holy Spirit, let's build a stronger foundation in our lives. Luke chapter 6, verse 47, it says, Jesus is talking, he says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep, lays a foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, let's build our lives on a solid foundation. Let's walk through the door of salvation and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up. Because you know what? It doesn't just happen. Just, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I think we do need the Holy Spirit. No, you got to do something, guys. You had to do something to become saved. We had to confess. We had to believe. We had to have faith. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. You need to believe that what Jesus said when he said, I sent the helper for you, that he meant it, that it was true. We have to have faith that, oh, the Holy Spirit is here to help me. Put aside all the stuff that's confusing to you. Those things are good, and he will reveal how good they are. But first, take the step and just receive the Holy Spirit. Allow him to help you. Then you can get all the other stuff. I heard a minister say about the Holy Spirit is like a nesting doll. You know those dolls that you open up and then, oh, it's something else in there. Oh, it's something else in there. And you like have like 20 things because it kept getting smaller and smaller. That's the Holy Spirit. He's that one thing, but then you open him up. He reveals more of himself to you. He shows you things. He shows you how powerful that you can be through Jesus. He reveals to you the things that Jesus did for you. Then you have confidence. Then you can go around boldly when stuff happens. Oh, no big deal. Oh, I don't have a job anymore. Okay, all right. Holy Spirit, tell me what's next. Okay, I'm confident. God is going to set me up for success. He doesn't want to see me fail. And you know you're confident because you know what the Bible says and you have a relationship with God. So nothing that can come your way can slow you down because you know that God is bigger, God is greater, and the picture is so much bigger than that little thing. That little thing. The thing that's the biggest issue in your life right now. What's it look like in eternity? The thing that's bothering you so much that seems so big. How am I going to do this? Well, eternity. I was having a conversation with somebody this week about when I was a kid. And I would sit and I tried so hard to think about forever. Forever with God. Like forever. Like I know what it means to be 10. But forever. That concept of forever is hard for us to grasp. But you think about the thing that's so big right now that you were crying about just before you came here. It's so small in the great big picture. So read Ephesians chapter 4. It talks about unity in the body of Christ, no longer living like the world. It talks about, in Colossians, letting the peace from Christ rule our hearts. In verse 15, 3:15. That's how we succeed. God set us up for success from the very beginning. Adam and Eve sinned. He said, okay, Jesus, this is what we got to do. You need to go and do this. And Jesus said, okay, I will go. I will do what you said. I will be an example for them, and I will leave them help when I'm gone. He left us help, guys. Your life can be a lot different than what it is right now. I know we're struggling with stuff. I know there's issues in your life. But I want you to make a choice today that you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up and then hand it over. That issue, the problem, that person, that job, all of it. He has a plan because he knew about it. He's just sitting there waiting. He's not gonna shout at you and like, hey, Susan, hey. Are the millionaires shouting at us saying, hey, guys, this is how you can make more money? No, they're not. They're not telling us. The Holy Spirit, he's waiting for you to ask him, how can I do this? How can I change my life? Help me. Empower me. So it starts off with you first accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up. So I want to take, we have about 5 minutes. I want to take a moment, and we're just going to worship just for a minute. If you guys could stand up for me. I know I made this kind of light because I want you to get it. But it's big. This is a game changer, guys. Your life, from this point forward, can be completely different than how it's been. It's not going to be easy. That storm still came when Jesus got on the boat. The storm didn't just say, oh, I'm not going to come. No, the storm still came, but they got through to the other side. The problems are still going to happen, but you're going to know what God's word says. You're going to utilize the help that Jesus gave us from the Holy Spirit. This is how our lives change. This is how we transform from the inside out. This is how our lives look different than everyone around us. And this is how we can have confidence in who God called us to be. Have confidence being a Christian. Because we allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives, to change the way we think, to change the way we operate. Everybody just close your eyes for a moment. Lift your hands. It's a sign of surrender. Sign saying, I don't know all things. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Say, Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Don't be afraid or embarrassed of what others might think, what others might say, because you know what? They don't have a say in your life or eternity. This is between you and God. He wanted a relationship with you from the very beginning. He knew that you were going to mess up. He knew that you were going to have problems telling lies. He knew that certain things were going to be difficult for you. But he said, I have help for you. I want to help you because I want you. He wants you. You feel like nobody does? You feel like you don't have anybody? You know, I went through lots of seasons in my life when I was like, it's me and you, God. I don't care about nobody else. If I have you, I can do anything. If I have you, I can go anywhere. If I have you, you're all that I need. I say it every time when I talk to him. You are everything to me. Is he everything to you? He wants to be your everything. He wants you. All imperfections, he wants you. And he wants to change the way you think. He wants to transform you. He wants to help you have a better life. So I'm going to give you the opportunity right now. Put aside your thoughts about everybody else and everything else. We're going to have some prayer workers right here in the front. And I want you to be bold because it's you and him. It's you and God. That's it. All the other stuff doesn't matter. That's a zoomed in photo. Look at the big picture. Eternity with him, living a life that represents him. So if you've not made this decision, if you've not said, Jesus, I need you. You are my Lord. Do it today. It's important. Your life can be better. If you have not said, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I've been trying so hard. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. If you never said that, if you've never asked him to be Lord in your life, today is your day. I was feeling the weight of this all week long because I know that there's people here in our church that have been coming here for a while that have not given their life fully and completely to Jesus. He's going to make it better, guys. He's going to transform the way you think. So right now, in this moment, take a step of faith. Be bold. Step out. Come down here. Pray with one of them. Change your life forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Everything. Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth or heavens above, that I have found more beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. And Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth, heavens above, that I have found more beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. I just love your heart. It's all I wanna do. I just wanna stand it all and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost.
No matter the cost. Give it to Jesus today. Pour it out. I don't care about any of y'all in this room. It's me and Jesus. Yes. Get to the place that it's you and Jesus. Yes. And nothing else. That's the way that you're going to succeed. That's the way to a better life. You and him. That relationship. That's what he wants. If you can't understand it, that's not your place to understand it. Just believe that he wants better. Just believe that he wants you just as you are. He'll do the changing later. Take the step. Be bold. Because your life can be so much better. But not just because you need a better life. It's because there's a world out there that's dying. They don't know.
Yes.
They don't know. You might not know. But Jesus said, come to me with your burdens, with your cares, and lay it down at my feet. Because what he did it for you so you wouldn't have to. All the struggles that you're trying to do and trying to make it work and trying to make it happen, he did that for you already. You're doing something that you have no business doing because Jesus paid the price for you. Jesus loves you guys. He loves you so much. He made a better way. You to see a sharper image of him.
Yes.
Tweak that camera. Fix your glasses. He is good. God is good. The devil is bad. The bad stuff in your life is not God. He wants to take that from you, cast it aside, and he wants your life to be changed. You to be a witness of his goodness, of his faithfulness, of his grace, of his mercy. It's not what you do. It's not what you did. It's what he did. It's all about Jesus, guys. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let his Holy Spirit strengthen you and give you boldness and confidence to live this life and be ready for whatever comes your way. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
It's you and Jesus, guys. It's you and him. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now. He's here. He's here to help you. Rely on him. Don't let it stop right now. Holy Spirit transform your life. If you're watching what's going on, close your eyes right now. Just say, Jesus, I love you. That song says, if it's a song I sing, here's every melody. That song says, to give your life, to give your vows to Him right now. Give it to Jesus. Pour it out. We love you, Lord. I thank you for every single person in this room. I thank you for those that are battling in their minds right now in their seats, that you reveal yourself to them. Holy Spirit, pull and tug on their hearts. Let them know of your goodness. Let them see the truth. Let them see how much you love them. In the name of Jesus, I believe that this will be a better week than you've had in a long time, because you've given your life to Jesus. If all you say when you go in your car is, it's me and you, God. I know with you, I can do anything. With you, I can get to the other side. Let your confidence be found in Him. Give Him your everything. Let Him transform you. Let Him change you. You just give it to Him. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you the glory and the honor. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, who is our helper in all things, that we can see all things, know all things because of Him. Because He's connected with you and communing with you, and He is talking to us. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.